Welcome to Whiskey Cask, Cask Strength Conversation featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 361 for March 17th, 2012. It's St. Patrick's Day, and I'm on location at one of the most logical places for a whiskey lover to be on St. Patrick's Day, the Old Jameson Distillery in Dublin, Ireland. I'm here along with broadcasters from 35 radio stations around the world for the annual Jameson Global Broadcast that's held on St. Patrick's Day every year. And coming up later on, I'll share some of the fun here in Dublin with you. I'll also have the calendar of events, the comments of the week, and a special edition of the What I'm Tasting This Week department.
Whiskey Cast. Proudly brought to you by Redbreast. The definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
Whiskey Cast is supported by Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt. To join other single malt appreciators for exclusive news, vintage releases, and preferred events, visit glenfiddich.com.
Glenfiddich, skillfully crafted. Please enjoy responsibly.
First off, let's take a look at the week's news. As always, it's brought to you by Glenmorangie. Glenfiddich's latest auction of one of the 15 bottles of 55-year-old Janet Sheed Roberts Reserve Single Malt took place Thursday night at the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor. And the third auction in the Global Series of 11 set a new record high for the series with a winning bid of $94,000. American whiskey collector and Universal Whiskey Experience organizer Mahesh Patel was the winning bidder. All of the proceeds will go to Shift Initiatives, which promotes sustainability causes. There are 8 bottles left to be auctioned around the world this year for charity. The 4 remaining bottles are being kept within the Grant family. Johnnie Walker is releasing 2 new additions for the travel retail market in the Americas. Platinum Label is an 18-year-old blended scotch, while Gold Label Reserve is a variation on the current Johnnie Walker Gold Label. Both will be available globally at duty-free shops later on this year. The trophies have been awarded in this year's Ultimate Spirits Challenge. F. Paul Packold's annual competition honors whiskeys and other spirits, with judges specializing in each spirit serving on the panel for those spirits. The chairman's trophies for best in category went to Kalila 12-year-old, Buchanan's Special Reserve, and Johnnie Walker Green Label for Scotch whiskeys. In North American whiskeys, Blanton's Single Barrel Bourbon, Masterson's Rye, Caribou Crossing, Balcones No. 1, and George Deckel Barrel Select all won chairman's trophies. Irish whiskeys honored with the chairman's trophy were Middleton Barry Crockett Tribute, Redbreast Cask Strength 12-year-old, and Bushmills 16-year-old Single Malt. Suntory's Yamazaki 18-year-old won in the Best World Whiskey category. There's a link at the WhiskeyCast website for the complete list of winners. Blackadder is releasing 2 new single cask bottlings, a 38-year-old Ladyburn and a 28-year-old malt from Glen Esk. Berry Brothers and Rudd is changing distributors for the Glenrothes in the United States. Starting on May 1st, the Glenrothes will be imported by San Francisco-based Anchor Distilling, replacing Campari America after 13 years. Last year, Berry Brothers bought a minority stake in Anchor and is also planning to distribute its wines and Berry's own selection whiskeys in the U.S. through Anchor as well. Finally, a few years ago, Kevin Erskine of the Scotch Blog created the Drammies Awards to honor the best and even some of the worst in whiskeys. The Drammies are back after a hiatus of a couple of years, now that Kevin is working with the folks at forwhiskeylovers.com. The site is accepting nominations for the various categories through the end of March, with voting on the top 5 nominees during the first couple of weeks of April. I've posted a link at the WhiskeyCast website for more details. And that's the week's news from Dublin.
The news is brought to you by Glenmorangie. Visit us on the web at glenmorangie.com or download our iPad app at the iTunes App Store. Glenmorangie, unnecessarily well made.
Let's check the comments of the week now, brought to you this time around by Johnnie Walker. Had a lot of comments on last week's interview with Andy Simpson of Whiskey Highland and his take on investing in whiskey. Jeff Steuben had this to say on our Facebook page. Mark, another great podcast, really made the flight to Indiana go fast. I don't like the investment aspect of whiskey. Like most things, it is at a peak and really not much room to move. Also, it keeps limited release stuff out of the hands of drinkers. Meanwhile, Evan Chapman asked on our Facebook page about the duty-free shop at Dublin Airport and whether it was worth checking out. I haven't gone through it yet on this trip, but I did get to see it last time I was here in Dublin Airport's new Terminal 2. It is excellent, with a great selection and some exclusive bottlings. Well worth checking out, Evan. Heard from Bas van der Groep in the Netherlands on the episode with Mike Beach of the Filson Historical Society in Louisville a couple of weeks ago. Here's what he had to say. I really enjoyed the episode with Mike Beach about all those bourbon myths. He's one hell of a source when it comes to bourbon history. I listened to it twice. Thanks and keep up the good work. Your show is, for me, the closest thing when it comes to news about American whiskey. All the news we get over here in the magazines is general and dated. News about craft distillers or artisan distillers is even rarer. The downside is that I want to try all those bourbons from the micro distillers, but it's very hard to get those bottles over here. Anyway, I hope you continue for a long time. Bass, thank you very much, and I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. If you have something to share, you can always post it on our Facebook page or just email me. My email address is comments@whiskeycast.com, and the comments of the week are brought to you this time around by Johnny Walker. On the web at johnnywalker.com, click the banner at the Whiskey Cast website to become a Whiskey Insider today.
Whiskey Cast, brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. In conversation with Barry Crockett, master distiller, Redbreast single pot still Irish whiskey.
The Irish pot still whiskey category, it's the unique story of Irish distilling practice. Its flavour and characteristics can be summarised to two particular factors. Firstly, the use of barley, which is harvested here locally, gives a particular aroma of what I describe as apple, verging towards pear, and indeed even a peach taste and aroma. And of course, this can be also categorised as a spirit which is very, very aromatic and sweet. In terms of taste, the barley gives, again, what I would describe as a velvety, soft, syrup-like effect on the palate. So it's a very rounded finish, very smooth. And again, this really arises from the use of very high percentages of barley in the brewing mix.
Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Those in the know Redbreast.
Let's check the calendar of events now, brought to you as always by Laphroaig. First off, I need to correct an error in last week's calendar. The tasting with Barry Crockett at the Whiskey Exchange Vinopolis shop in London is on Monday, March 19th. Not tonight, the 17th, as I'd said last week. Blame that on a typo. Meanwhile, Binny's will hold its annual World of Whiskies show at its Lincoln Park store in suburban Chicago on the 22nd, the night before the sold-out Whiskey Fest Chicago on the 23rd. The Quebec Whiskey Club will hold its first Quebec Whiskey Day on March 31st. That's also the date for the Brighton Whiskey Festival in England and the Whiskies of the World Expo in San Francisco. The Sonoma County Single Malt Society will hold a tasting on April 1st in Santa Rosa, California. And Whiskey Live New York is set for April 11th. Those are just some of the events coming up over the next few weeks. You'll find a full calendar at the WhiskeyCast website, and it's brought to you by Laphroaig. Take a virtual distillery tour at laphroaig.com, and while you're there, become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of Islay.
WhiskeyCast is supported by Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt. In 1886, William Grant set out to fulfill a lifelong ambition, to make the best dram in the valley. Today, a rarity in Scotland, Glenfiddich still remains independently owned by the fifth generation of the same pioneering family. This unique legacy of skill, passion and pride forges a long-term commitment to creating truly great single malt without compromise. Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt. To learn more about our award-winning range and join other single malt appreciators for exclusive news, vintage releases and preferred events, visit glenfiddich.com.
Glenfiddich, skillfully crafted. Please enjoy responsibly.
This week on WhiskeyCast In Depth, we're at the old Jameson Distillery on Bow Street in the heart of Dublin, and it's St. Patrick's Day. Of course, whiskey production stopped here nearly 40 years ago, and all of the Irish distillers' whiskies like Jameson, Redbreast, Powers, and Greenspot are now distilled at Middleton Distillery in Cork. But the old place is jumping this weekend, as you can hear behind me. Middleton distiller Liam Donegan told me there's no better place to be on St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day is the biggest day in the Irish calendar. for anybody in Ireland or abroad. And in Dublin, it's really a carnival atmosphere. And you can see that being translated here in the distillery today. We bring in radio stations from all around the world. We've been doing that for the last number of years. They come to the distillery. They enjoy the fruit of our labor in the distillery here and transmit their shows all around the world and take advantage of St. Patrick's weekend in Dublin.
Which is also probably the biggest tourist weekend of the year in Dublin as well, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Apart from just the carnival atmosphere that us Dubs get to enjoy, we got a lot of tourists in to see what's going on in Dublin St. Patrick's Day.
You guys release a special distillery bottling every year just for St. Patrick's, right?
We have a bottle that you can only buy in the distillery here, a special distillery reserve that we have here that you can buy in St. Patrick's Day, yep.
And that's the one with the custom label with the nice artwork on it. That's the sort of... I'll post a picture of this on the Facebook page because it really is a great looking bottle.
Yeah, it's we get an Irish artist to design the bottle for us a couple of years ago, and what we're trying to do is just do something a little bit different to celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
What else are you guys working on these days that you can talk about?
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on in the distillery in Middleton and County Cork. So, as you know, a lot of barrels maturing, and a few things will be coming out over the next year or so. But everything's off the record, so.
Except for what we can talk about in terms of the expansion, because I know that Pernod Ricard's throwing about more than 100 million euros into expanding the entire distillery and essentially almost, for lack of a better term, building it as an all-new distillery, essentially, right?
Well, we've been distilling in Middleton since we closed the distillery here in Smithfield in 1975. And what we're doing at the moment is we're going to double that distilling capacity. So Jameson is enjoying such a great time all around the world at the moment that it's driving us to produce and lay down more stocks and fill more casks. And to support that growth, we're expanding the distillery. So it's busy at the moment. We're going to be another year and a half before we're fully up and running, but it's a great thing for Jameson and a great thing for Ireland. So.
And also it gives you the chance to produce more of the other Irish distillers' expressions, the Redbreasts, the Powers, the Paddies, the Middleton Very Rares, and some of those expressions too, right?
Yeah, if you look at the cask stocks that we have now, as you know, we have about 840,000 barrels in warehouses in our distillery at the moment. And... as we're expanding capacity and as we're laying down more stocks, we also get to do a little bit more of the fun stuff, like you say. So we'll have a bit more of all different kinds of whiskies that we currently have in our portfolio. So.
Now, the last time you and I talked was last fall in Paris at Whiskey Live, and that was when the Redbreast 12 cask strength had just come out. It's now been introduced in the U.S. Where else is it going to worldwide? I know I've had requests from some of our listeners in Australia. They want to see Redbreast down there.
Yeah, well, hopefully Redbreast is one of those whiskies that speaks for itself and has done for a long, long time. So as time passes, it's going to make it to more and more markets around the world. It's got a kind of a cult status following. And one of these days it's going to make it to Australia, but not at the moment. It's, as you know, we've only got so many casks that we filled more than 12 years ago. So,
Irish artist Paul Daly designed the special St. Patrick's Day bottle for Jameson. It combines Irish heritage with a modern attitude.
When I was asked to do it, I immediately thought about the Book of Kells, the ancient Irish scripture. And I was trying to work out how to make that work, that influence work with modern day images that I use, such as guitars and hearts with daggers through them and my sort of rock and roll culture, and put the modern Ireland meets the ancient Ireland. That's what I thought. That was in my head.
And it was really a unique process to get this on the bottle. I'm told they had to do 8 different runs to try to get it just right. It may be probably the most complex bottle label they've ever done.
It's a very complex bottle because I wanted it to look very high end. It had to be printed on the bottle as opposed to a label. And a label would have been easy, comparatively. You just print the labels and you stick them on bottles. And that's not that's not to say that's a bad thing. That's a beautiful thing. But I wanted it to be a bit more sort of textured and artistic, like art, almost like a painting on a bottle. And that's what we went for. And that was very hard to achieve. We had to try and try again, and then until it was finally got right. And Jemison really stick. If they decide to do something, they're going to do it properly, and that was amazing to work with them like that.
And as you pointed out, this really sort of had a rock and roll ethos about it, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a rock and roller, but and you know, I wanted to associate it with movies as well, because Jemison are heavily associated with film, and our Irish people are associated with you know, the arts in so many ways, considering it's such a small country. So it sort of blends that whole fusion of, you know, music and visual arts with, you know, the beautiful ancient thing that is, you know, Jemison whiskey.
How much of a point of pride was it for you to be asked to design the St. Patrick's bottle for an icon like Jemison?
Oh, that's incredible, because my dad, who's 88 years old, that's one of his proudest things, to see his son's signature on a bottle of Jemison, because, you know, his father used to drink it, dad drinks it. You know, it's a famous, even if you don't drink Jemison, which so many people do, it's still considered to be such an incredible thing. So it's a cultural thing, regardless of it being whiskey. So it was very, very important for me and for my family. They saw that they love it, you know, because it's heritage. In good times and in bad times, Jemison is there, you know. That's important.
As I said earlier, I'm here with broadcasters from all over the world as part of the annual Jemison Global Broadcast. There are stations here from about 20 different U.S. cities, Argentina, Finland, Russia, India, Mexico, and other countries. There's a cask of whiskey aging here at the old distillery that only gets opened on special occasions. David Byrne of Irish Distillers decided this was as special an occasion as any.
What we've done here today is we brought up this cask, which is from Middleton. And as you know, all the distilling of Jemison, and in fact all our whisky brands, is done down in Middleton, which is in the south of Ireland, in County Cork. John Jemison's original distillery was based right here on this site in Dublin City, and he founded that distillery in 1780, and that distillery closed in the mid-1970s, so about 1974 closed. And at that stage, all the distilling moved down to Middleton, and that's where we make all the Jemison today. So this cask here is was filled in 1996. So think about 1996, where you were, what you were doing during that year. So during that year in 1996, the whiskey that's in this cask was distilled, was put in this cask, and was put away into the warehouse to rest, to mature. So it's been there for quite a while, 16 years. This is an American barrel, and we mature our whiskey for the Jemison range in American bourbon barrels, in Spanish sherry butts, and in Portuguese port pipes. So there are three different cask types. They're all made from oak, and they have all been used previously to make another product. So in this case, it was bourbon. In the case of sherry butts, obviously, Spanish sherry wine, and then for port pipes, port. You all have a port after dinner, maybe. So the different casks are what we call seasoned. This cask is also known as a B1, which means first fill cask. So when we bring those in from the States, they've been used only once before. And when we fill them for the first time, we put them away and call them a B1. When we empty them, and if we use them for a second time, we then call it B2 and B3 and so on. If we, you may be familiar with Jemison Gold, if we use a brand new cask to mature some of the spirit, that's called a B0. And it's a virgin oak cask made in the States and sent over to us, never having filled it before. The spirit then in here, we're going to have to get this open now, drooling. The spirit in here then, in Middleton we make pretty much three different types of spirit. We make pot still whiskey. So you may have heard of brands like Redbreast or Green Spot. Those are single pot still whiskies. They only contain pot still spirit. We also make grain whiskey, which is distilled in a column still, a big tall column still. And that's called grain whiskey. And then we also make some malt. So using only malted barley, which you're all familiar with single malt, that's malt whiskey. When you mix any three of those types together, you get a blend. So Jemison and the Jemison range is blended Irish whiskey. And that means that you've got pot still whiskey from Middleton, you've got grain whiskey from Middleton, some matured in bourbon casks, some matured in sherry butts, and they're blended together by the master blender to get the spirit that he wants. And that's the case for Jameson 12-year-old, 18-year-old, rarest vintage reserve, Jameson Gold, Select Reserve, the whole range. So they're blended. So never think of a blended whiskey as an inferior type whiskey. It is in fact a very, very skillful art that is has been perfected by our master blender in Milton to come up with the whiskies. So let's get this cask open.
How many times do you reuse the barrels?
Generally up to a maximum of about 3 times. So it depends as well. Sometimes when you empty the cask and sample the spirit inside, you'll get an idea that the cask is running out, is done, as you say. You know, they're all made from wood, they're natural products, so they're all different. They're all different. The casks mature whiskey in different ways, at different speeds, and the end product can be quite different, even though you started out with 10 of the exact same casks, and you started out with the exact same spirit in each cask. Okay, so we're gonna remove the bung here. So the bung is generally made from poplar wood. Poplar, it's a softer wood than oak. And we'll try and get this out. Everybody watching now mightn't come out.
No pressure.
No pressure. No pressure. Yeah. Have to go again. Okay, this looks good.
Yay. Woo! Yay.
Somebody can try that action. It's easier when nobody's watching. Okay. So this thing is called a melange. So basically you drop it in, put your finger over the top, cause a vacuum, and the spirit comes out. So when these casks are when they're filled, so when this this is called Mod Pot 1, MMP 1, Middleton Mod Pot 1 is the spirit type. It's a pot still whiskey, as we spoke about already, and pot still is a key component in Jameson, in all the Jameson blends. When the spirit goes in here, it's triple distilled in copper pot stills from a mash of malted barley and also unmalted barley, and then it's put into the cask. When it goes in, it's completely clear, so it looks like water. And the flavour then is of new spirit, so it's very, very intense. So what I'm saying really is that all the colour and the flavour of Jameson and of our spirits is coming from the cask. So the cask is so important. The cask has to be of very, very, very good quality. We order these casks to be the exact cask that we want. So we don't just go to the US bourbon market and buy secondhand or used casks. We select our casks, because if you put your spirit in a poor cask of unknown provenance, after 3, 4, 5, 10, 16 years, what comes out isn't going to be that great. So it's critical. Same for the Spanish cask we use. We go to Spain, we select the wood, they're made to our exact specifications. They're so beautiful, they're like furniture. You know, they're so well finished, there's no knots in the wood. And we bring them home when it's cold and we fill them straight away and they mature the spirit. So who's going to hold this?
Lots. Just a photo
op. My best man, white.
How many to take your video?
Thanks.
Excuse me.
This is already going.
Okay.
It's going.
Let's
go. Go ahead.
Okay, so just pop it in here over the top.
Don't spill it.
We better get some more.
This is a thirsty crowd. You're probably going to need some more. So am I right or am I right?
No, there's plenty in here. These barrels hold 200 litres, but this one, after 16 years, will have lost about 50 litres just through evaporation through the wood. That's known as the angel's share. So in order to mature, the ideal
weather conditions are warm weather and then cold again at night. So there's expansion and contraction, and the spirit enters the wood and leaves the wood and enters the wood and leaves it. And over time that imparts colour and takes away certain tastes from the spirit which we don't want. So that'll do for the moment.
David, the spirit that you took out earlier from the cask, we have in glasses. So my team are going to just go around and distribute it glass for everybody.
So what's important to note, thank you very much. What's important to note, this spirit has been in this cask for 16 years. It's never ever come out. Never come out. We didn't take it out and put it back in, especially for you guys or anything. It is just the cask out of the warehouse. So you can see that the colour, that has gone from being a watercolour to that gorgeous ambery, orangey type colour. There'll be some bits, you know, bits of wood and maybe some small bits of char floating in there. That's just because it hasn't been filtered. The strength of the whiskey, maybe everybody get a glass there and then we'll talk for it. So we just took this out before you came over.
Has everybody got a glass, an ocean glass?
I don't.
One behind you, David.
And Mark,
yeah. A little bit in there.
Mark, can you give me a miss?
Has everybody else got a glass?
Thank you. Right there. Okay, everybody got some? Even if you don't want to drink it, just hold one and nose it. Okay, so. So the whiskey guys in the glass. The whiskey is, after the third distillation, the spirit percentage would be in the high 80s coming from a pot still. And then we reduced the spirit down to 63% and then we put it in the cask. 63% volume is deemed to be the ideal alcohol strength at which to place your spirit in the cask. So 63% volume, that means that if you have, you know, 1 pint of that spirit, 63% of that pint is pure alcohol. Wow. So it's strong.
So just drink 1 pint.
So and have a bed nearby. So it's brought down to 63. Some of the alcohol then evaporates off during the maturation process. So this, the strength of this now I think is about 60.2. So it's very strong. So if that was US proof, it would be 120. Yeah, so it's very strong. 200. When full. So with time, you get less and less. Okay, so on the... you can drink this... Everybody's had it already. So you can drink this neat, but I suggest you just nose it at first. So you get the cask straight away and the wood. Vanilla, just a fruit in there. I always get a bit of apricot along with the vanilla. I get banana as well. Now, and everybody gets different stuff. If there's something in Mexico that you're familiar with, you get.
Okay, tell me what you guys get when you nose this.
What do I get when I what?
What aromas do you get when you nose this?
I'll let Alan answer that one.
I'll tell you what.
Vanilla.
Vanilla. There you go. Yep. Cask interior.
It has an oaky finish, too.
Right, yep.
So you'd get some toasted oak notes then.
Yeah.
Right.
Almost like a campfire, maybe?
Almost like Honey Nut Crunch, the cereal. It's like all of those in one.
Yeah.
No, that's a very good descriptor for it, because you get a little bit of the maltiness, a little bit of the oats, and a little bit of the cereal flavor, as well as the vanilla, as well as the honey in there, too. Now, what do you get?
Abject heaven. Just complete contentment. It's awesome. It tastes very...
I actually smell 1996. I smell it right now.
1996 and bad music, right?
Oh, yes. And a Kiss reunion tour.
Yes.
I smell my youth. I was 9 years old, so...
Yes. It's come a long way.
Okay, now what radio station are you guys from?
100.7 WMMS in Cleveland, Ohio.
All of you?
Yes.
Okay, and what's the website so anybody that's listening can listen in on the web?
alancockshow.com or WMMS.com.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, tell me what you get on the nose.
A little banana, a little vanilla. Fire.
Okay.
No. Actually, the fire's on the tongue, really.
Okay, and what did you get when you tasted it?
Definitely the stronger vanilla. And like a hint of oak, but I'm a fan. It's definitely a little stronger than what you're getting out of the bottle.
Is this the first time you've ever tasted whiskey right out of a cask?
This is the first time, absolutely.
What's your name and what radio station are you from?
I'm Dan Bozick. I work for The Brew in Portland, Oregon.
And what's the website so people can listen in?
1059thebrew.com.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
All right, you two, tell me what you got when you nosed this.
I'm sorry, say it again?
Tell me what you got when you nosed this whiskey. What'd you smell?
Wood. Vanilla. Yeah. Smells awesome.
I smell the wood. Wonderful. It's fantastic. I want to line every part of my house with this kind of wood.
Now, what did it taste like?
Heaven.
It's very, very smooth. It's very smooth. Yeah, I can taste the vanilla. That's what I'm tasting. Is it?
Did you think that whiskey coming right out of a cask would taste like that?
No, I didn't. I thought maybe I had to sit out like a wine and breathe for a bit, but no. Yeah.
Okay, what are your names and what stations are you from?
Jennifer with KISS in San Antonio.
And I'm Kelly Kendall with KISS FM San Antonio.
And what's the website address so people can listen in?
KissRocks.com.
Very cool. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Tell me what you get in the nose.
Oh, it smells like a honeysuckle flower, like if you like that grows wild in the woods. It smells exactly like that. That sweet flower smell that is just so aromatic and so fragrant. It's that woody kind of, you know, deciduous forest smell, but that leafy smell, but the honey. That honey smell.
You're disqualified because that's a pro-level tasting note.
Sorry. I do enjoy it, and this is amazing. It smells so good.
What did it taste like?
Oh, it's outstanding. Smooth, very smooth, warm on the tongue, but not bitter, not harsh. No burning, not like a bourbon that burns going down. Very smooth, a warmth. That warmth that's a good quality, you know, triple distilled. You can really feel and taste that difference.
And what's your name? What station are you from?
My name is Randy Malloy, and I'm from WWCD, CD 101 in Columbus, Ohio.
And the website address?
WWCD101.com.
Tell me the story, first of all, about missing St. Patrick's Day to be here in Dublin for the first time in many, many years, and then about your former boss and friend.
Well, I have not missed a St. Patrick's Day parade in Columbus, Ohio since 1987. 25 years I have not missed a parade. And this will be the first St. Patrick's Day parade I miss. And it's worth it to come to the Jameson Distillery in Dublin. The only reason I would do it. So I usually dress like a, you know, leprechaun. I'm 6'2", and I don't really look like a leprechaun because I'm big. But I told at the Proclamation Day, because we have a huge Irish community in Columbus, Ohio, and we have the Irish Family Reunion that has over 5,000 people attend every year just for this Irish Family Reunion, which is this picnic. And I always broadcast live from that. We're very involved with the community. So when I told them that I wasn't going to be there, a bunch of the people from the community, they were like, oh, well, thank God we don't have to see you in that goofy leprechaun outfit. So what I did was, unbeknownst to anybody, I went ahead and had a life-size cutout made of me that will be in the parade and will be at the reunion, and I photoshopped in a bottle of Jameson in my hand, standing, holding the bottle. So there'll be pictures of it tomorrow because it'll be done this afternoon, so I'll get it before I leave. The other story is that our longtime program director, Andy Davis, the Andy Man, who was afternoon drive for the radio station for 20 years, huge Jameson fan. That's all he drank, pretty much beer and Jameson. And he passed away 2 years ago. And we moved our offices just a year ago. April 1st is the anniversary of moving our office. When we moved the office and we had it rebuilt and the new studios were put in place, the night before they drywalled the room, all the staff, all the employees came down. We bought a bottle of Jameson. We drank it in his honor and left a big shot in the bottom. Everybody signed the bottle, and then we had the drywallers drywall it in
the studio wall just above the window. And it's there to this day. And we always toast him every time we have a Jameson in the office. Everyone looks toward the window and raises their glass.
And nobody will ever take that bottle out, right?
No, no. It's behind, you know, 5/8 inch drywall. And it'll always be there. It's in honor and memory of him.
Very cool story. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Absolutely.
I've been fighting a cold all week long, and since my tasting notes for the various Jameson expressions are available in the WhiskeyCast smartphone apps and at the website, I decided to do something different for the What I'm Tasting This Week department, brought to you this time around by Bal Blair. As part of the global broadcast, we recorded this month's episode of WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings at the Old Jameson Distillery. Now, you heard a few minutes ago from Randy Malloy of CD 101 in Columbus, Ohio. He joined me along with Paul Driscoll of WFNX in Boston and Colonel St. James of 93.7 The Arrow in Houston to make up the tasting panel for this episode. I thought I'd share some of their tasting notes on the Jameson Gold Reserve with you.
I can smell some citrus for the first time in anything. This one I can actually smell some citrus.
Paul?
The citrus I pick up on, it almost sounds like smells like an orange peel.
Exactly.
Orange peel?
Yeah. The other two did not have that.
Say any mango, maybe grapefruit, something like that.
Yeah, it grapefruit, could be grapefruit, yeah, grapefruit, orange, but definitely has a citrus.
Yeah,
very, very, very nice.
Very juicy.
Very much, absolutely.
And the guys are tasting now, so.
Ooh, that's good. That's delicious.
That's a party in your mouth. Right?
That is. Yeah, that's like, delicious.
Wow,
yeah.
Wow, goodness.
A little mm-hmm. woodier. I'd say it has definitely a little smokier flavor to it. Mm-hmm. You can definitely taste a little of the oak. Mm-hmm. It has some oak flavor, definitely, but not overwhelming. Not like a Scotch oak flavor.
And especially not, say, like a bourbon oak flavor.
No, absolutely
that's
not.
Completely.
Oh, no,
just,
no, no, no.
But you can taste it. You can really taste wood. You can taste, and it's oak.
Yeah.
Definitely has that flavor.
Without it overpowering.
No, not
there's overpowering good balance on this?
Very much. The balance
is very balanced. It's
there's almost a creaminess to this one, I think, in the past. I don't want to lead you guys
kind
on this.
Kind of a honey note a little bit, too.
It feels different on the lips and the tongue, too.
Yeah.
It has a very, almost like an oily
effect
on the lips. It's definitely different than the other two completely. It has an oily effect on the lips where it's very smooth.
Now, how old is this, Mark?
Really.
There's no age statement on this.
Delicious.
Oh, is that right? All right.
So it's one of those that can be a mix of casks from different eras, different generations, and they do this one to taste. And I think does taste well, so we're adding water now.
Get a home run on this one.
Yeah. And
just to drop.
This should be kind of fun to see the changes on this one.
Perfect. You're doing a great job with the water.
Well, thank you. I aspire to be the water boy.
Yeah, you and Adam Sandler, right?
Please feel free, right. I will try my best to uphold Mr. Sandler's great tradition of water boyness.
It opens right up again, like the first one.
Oh, yeah, wow, the smell of this is now, I mean, it's powerful. Mm-hmm. You can really, really get that.
And see, I didn't get that on the second one, the Special Reserve 12.
I didn't
get that at all.
No,
I have to admit that I don't know the mix of casks in this one, but I'd almost suspect there are some more bourbon casks in this one.
Yes. I would say yes.
Just because of the flavors you guys are getting, I'd suspect that this has a higher percentage of bourbon casks in the mix.
Absolutely.
The water takes away a little of the oiliness, too, I think. It's a little crisper.
You can hear the entire discussion on this month's WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings. Links are available at the WhiskeyCast website. You can also find it in the iTunes Music Store. The What I'm Tasting This Week department is brought to you by Bal Blair. Whiskey's timed to perfection. You'll find my tasting notes in the WhiskeyCast apps for iPhone and Android. The iPhone version is brought to you by the Glenrothes. Links for both are available at the WhiskeyCast website, along with links for our Facebook page and my Twitter feed, the calendar of events, the photo gallery and print shop, and a complete archive of past episodes. The address is WhiskeyCast.com. My email address for questions and suggestions is comments@WhiskeyCast.com.
WhiskeyCast is supported by Glenfiddich, the world's most awarded single malt. To join other single malt appreciators for exclusive news, vintage releases, and preferred events, visit glenfiddich.com.
Glenfiddich, skillfully crafted. Please enjoy responsibly.
WhiskeyCast. proudly brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the Stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
I want to thank the folks at Irish Distillers for inviting us to be part of this very special weekend in Dublin and for providing production support for the entire weekend. WhiskeyCast is a production of Cask Strength Media, copyright 2012, and comes to you this time around from the Old Jameson Distillery in Dublin, Ireland. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.